Okay. Like I said, the topic for today is depression. I want to start right off by saying that depression, this topic, is an important issue. So I definitely don't want to make light of it. We shouldn't be taking this issue or topic lightly. If any of you feel as if you are depressed, it's important to know that you're not alone. It's important to know that depression is not a sign of weakness. It's not a lack of faith. It's just a reminder to all of us that we're human. We all have emotions. You know, we all experience them. So I'm in no way a professional counselor. I can't give you professional advice on this topic. All I can do is assure you that you're loved and you're not alone. No matter what. And then I can show you in the Bible how we can navigate that. So, a study conducted by the CDC shows that depression in kids age 12 to 19 is about 20%. In the age groups that they studied, that's like the highest range. I mean, 20% of kids 12 to 19 year old experience some form of depression. In your adolescent years and the years that you guys are all in right now, your experience emotions probably at the highest, I guess, level that you probably will in life. You guys all have raging hormones, and life seems to be coming at you guys in droves. Expectations are just increasing every year. More and more is expected of you. Your bodies are changing. You guys are all just trying to figure out where you guys fit into this equation of life. Other factors that escalate your chances or feelings of depression even further is puberty. Like I said, you guys are all your guys' bodies are changing. Bullying and cyberbullying. Other kids that are dealing with the same issues have no way of coping, I guess, so they lash out at other people, and it makes them, I guess, feel a sense of, it fills the emptiness that they feel inside. And they're cyberbullying, so people can't be mean to other people's faces, so they attack them on the internet or behind a computer screen or a phone or a tablet. Social isolation, you guys, kids, I guess, I say you guys, adolescents, you start to feel down and you feel like you're alone. You know, you have some hard times and you feel like no one can relate to the problems that you're going through, so you shut yourself off and you make yourself, I guess, you just self-isolate. And then stressful life events. You're starting middle school, you're starting high school. I mean, all of you guys in here had to go through a pandemic, COVID. None of us in my lifetime, I don't remember anything like that. So school literally got turned upside down for all of you in a year, and then flip right back over, but with just new rules when you guys went back. In the last 6 months, how many of you guys can say that you haven't had a down moment? None of you, right? I mean, that's exactly what I thought. I mean, we all are humans. There are days when you wake up and it's supposed to be sunny and you have big plans and it's rainy. And everything that you had planned for the day just already isn't going the way you wanted it to. So you're bummed out, you know. You don't get, something just doesn't go your way. Somebody sets you off, puts you in a bad mood. I mean, like I said, we're humans. For me, I could say, like, one of the, just recently, I'm setting up the pool. I get everything leveled out. I'm super stoked. In one day, I felt like 10 different emotions. Super stoked. We get the pool delivered. I realized that everything that I had done was for naught. Like, all the sand that I'd leveled out. So I was happy that I got all that done. And then I got the pool. And then I was sad because everything I'd done was for nothing. So, and angry because I was hot and sweaty and wasted all my time. And then Caleb came and helped me last Sunday, and we got all the walls put up, and about 10 o'clock at night, we started putting water in. So I felt accomplished because we worked really hard. And then I felt joy once we started putting water in, because I was like, hey, we'll eventually be able to use this thing. And then back down to bummed, because our water pressure is like 1 gallon per day. And it's a very big pool. So, the Bible doesn't exactly use the word depression. It does use words that are similar, though. Downcast, brokenhearted, despairing, miserable, troubled, mourning. There's plenty of characters in the Bible that are amazing men and women who struggle. Jesus himself talks about how he felt sad or disappointed at times. He hurt for others. He's God. And even he had these emotions. David is called the man after God's own heart. He killed Goliath. He was the greatest king to ever live. And you would think somebody that had lived a life like this, you know, they would, I mean, they, all the highs, you know. Someone like that could never feel down, right? Well, we're going to see that that's not exactly the case. So, y'all got a Bible. Let's turn to Psalms 40. And we're going to read this entire passage today. It's 17 verses. And we're going to read it popcorn style. Psalms 40.
By word or by
word? By word, where just each person has to read a word. Like, how long do you think that would take us to get through?
Forever.
Yeah. Well, no, we're going to read a verse. There's, how many is there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Oof, one of you guys gets off three. Well, no, because we're going to start with you. I made Elias pray, so we're going to start on this side of the room. And Elias will probably get the scapegoat, looks like. So, Psalms 40, is everybody there? No, not yet. No. What?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Everybody there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Well, I say, Elias, it looks like you're not gonna. You're gonna have to read the last one. We're gonna skip over Levi. Psalms 40, Levi. Go ahead, Bryson. Jacob.
He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of
the miry clay.
The miry clay, so I can get a little rock and establish my legs. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and it is just a bit of fear and trust on the Lord.
Elena, we'll go across.
Then I said, I come in the fire of the building of your enemy.
I do, I will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart.
Verse 10. Sorry. Yeah, it's withhold not thy Thou, thy tender mercies from me, O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Yes. You're good. It's all right, buddy. 12. Yep.
For a reward of their sin that say unto me, Aha, Aha. Let all those that seek me rejoice and be glad in me. Let such as love thy salvation say unto me, the Lord be my God.
When I am poor, he gets up. Lord, thank it upon me, thou art my help.
Yep. In verse 1 it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Depression can feel like a dark pit. It can feel like you're stuck in a rut that you can't get out. And if we are patient with God and crying out to him in these times, God can lift us up. If you look at verse 2, it says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Like I said, sometimes it says he brought him up out of a horrible pit. Depression may be a deep, dark place for some. Yeah, it can be a place where, like I said earlier, you know, you feel like you're alone, you feel like there's no way out. And it says here that he waited patiently and inclined unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. It also says that he pulled me up out of the miry clay, which is like a sticky place. Sometimes it's like referenced as like a place of spiritual paralysis. And then it says right after that, though, that he set his feet upon a rock. So David is crying out to the Lord. Obviously, he says he's in a horrible pit, stuck in a miry clay. Yeah?
What's paralysis?
Paralysis is like you feel like you can't move. Sometimes people are paralyzed from the waist down or all over. It's just you just feel like you can't move. So when I like spiritual paralysis, you just feel like your spirit has been taken from you. It's gone. Yeah, you just can't. You're not moving forward. You're just stuck in that place. Obviously, David felt like he was in a bad spot. And he cried out to the Lord, and he lifted him up. He set him upon a rock, which a rock is a solid foundation, a place, you know, the clay is sticky, and you can get stuck in it. And he sets him up, and he sets him on a rock, which is a firm foundation. And he says right after that, and established my goings. He was in a bad spot, a horrible pit, and God picked him up. He set him upon a rock, and he showed him the way. He established his next steps, you know. So God will direct you. He will set you upright. All you have to do is put your trust in him. It says this in verse 4. It says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. You put your trust in the Lord, and he's going to get you out of wherever you're at. No matter how alone you feel, no matter how horrible the situation might be, God will, he'll pull you out of that. In verse 1, it says that he waited, and I don't know about in your guys' Bible, but in mine, it's all caps. The whole word is waited, is capitalized. Did anybody else notice that? In theirs? Verse 1, it says, I waited. In my Bible, it's capitalized, the entire word. I just think there's significance in that, because he waited. When you're feeling down and low, oftentimes it's hard to be patient. You want a quick fix, you want things to get better just in an instant, and it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes you can be in a season where you just feel down for a long time. But David, he waited. I waited patiently. And it doesn't say, it also says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. It doesn't say that David is crying out loudly. Not always are you verbalizing what you're going through. Not always are you crying out loud. God can still hear the silent cries that we have, the ones that we're feeling inside. Oftentimes when you feel like you're in a horrible pit or whatever, it's easy to just put on this cloak of nothing's wrong, you know, to hold your head high and just keep walking like nothing's happening. But really when inside you're struggling, you're dealing with stuff, God still hears that. He still hears those cries. Being depressed doesn't mean yet you have failed. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't mean you have a lack of faith. God can and will deliver you from that. And when he does, he has a purpose. If you look at verse 3, it says, he's brought him up in verse 2. He's brought him out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he's set his feet upon a solid rock, and he's established his ways. And he says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Not only will God lift you up and bring you out of those hard times, but he'll give you a new song. He'll bring new meaning to your life. He'll bring a new purpose. You know, he will, he'll move you forward. God put a new song in David's mouth, and it just means that he had, things were different. There was change. Some of you guys could probably be sitting here and thinking like, yeah, what I've got going on in my life is bigger than what David has going on, you know, what he's been going through. We don't know exactly what his struggle is at this point in time, but if you're sitting here and you feel that way, then let's look on to verse 12. Let's look down a little farther. In verse 12 it says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. He's talking about innumerable evils. More than the hairs of his head. I don't know about you guys, but I can't count the hairs on my head. And I'm looking around the room and none of you are John Gibson. So, David's in a pretty dark spot, a pretty deep spot. He says innumerable evils, innumerable evils. It's an uncountable amount of evils. He feels like the weight of the world is on him at this point in time. So he's in a dark spot. He's got innumerable evils. He says to them, let them be ashamed. I'm going to continue to read on. He's begging out to the Lord. He says, but please, O Lord, deliver me. Make haste to help me. He says, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. When you're in a place of depression and you feel alone, the adversary, that's what he's going to do. I mean, he seeks to destroy your soul. He wants to keep you in that pit. He wants you to stay in that rut. He doesn't want you to get out. And here David's crying out to the Lord. He says, O Lord, deliver me. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together. Let that seek after... Gabe? Yeah. He says, that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let those that seek thee rejoice. So let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me, thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. And then we'll continue on into the next Psalm 41. He said, blessed is he that considereth the poor, The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. You see, God will not deliver you. It says it in the end of verse 2. He will not deliver you unto the will of your enemies. When you feel like you're in that spot, just know that you're not stuck in that spot. If you're seeking the Lord and praying out to him, even if you're not verbally crying out to him, he will not allow you to stay in that place. He will bring you out of it. There is no pit that God can't bring you out of. There's no innumerable amount of evil that he won't deliver you from. If we just put our trust in him, like it says in verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Just like David did, God will set you free. He'll set your feet on solid ground. He will pave the way for you and replace your sorrow with a new song of praise. So I'm going to pray, and then I guess we're done a little bit early, but we'll hang out here for a second and then go inside.